Because once you know the truth, then you have to be responsible. And everybody is not ready for that kind of thing.
Boy, that's wonderful. Sean, I want you to piggyback on that. Now, let's say that the lady's in the church and the husband has made the decision to leave the church and to take his family back and to do that right. But the pastor comes and or tries to send some of his cohorts to the husband's wife to tell her that her husband has fallen from grace and that he has a couple of demons talking to him. How should the young man respond to the pastor and to the male leadership in that church?
I believe that the man should respond as Jesus would respond. Jesus was not feminized, in that a man, and I'm not going to, you know, we're undergraduate students right now, and I'm just learning about citation, how to properly cite individuals and not plagiarize. So I want to tell you that was not my concept, though I couldn't word it, but you actually helped me out with that, Pastor John, with men today in the church. They're feminized.
Yes.
In other words, a man who is a Christian would say, you know what, first of all, I'm making this decision. I believe that it's a biblical decision, and this is my wife. You get out of her face.
Right.
Bottom line, get out of her face.
Right.
And then she's going to follow me. That's just the bottom line.
But, baby,
go ahead.
They wouldn't have been able to get me with that one anyway, because that would have contradicted everything they ever tried to teach us
right.
to start with. Because one of the things that they would try to drill into us women was, you do what your husband tell you to do. I don't care what nobody say. So I would have saw that for the trick that it was to start with.
That's good. But when you're so emotionally immersed in the fellowship, or, you know, the group of individuals and what the group is doing, when you're so into the group, is it more control when you're more of a groupie kind of a person, or is it easier for you to submit to one another as husband and wife if you're not that tightly connected to the group?
Well,
I'm sorry, go ahead, huh?
I wasn't connected that tightly to the group anyway. Actually, the truth of the matter is, the pastor's wife actually called me Peter. That was my nickname in the church, Peter, because I was the one that would speak. Nobody else would speak, and I would speak.
That's wonderful, right? Okay.
And
yeah.
You know, I didn't have a problem with that. Even when I was just totally in the world and crazy, I don't know why, but I always thought that once I got married, whatever religion my husband's was, if I ever got married, because truthfully, I never thought I'd have a husband.
Yeah.
But I said, if I ever got married, whatever religion my husband was, that would be my religion. And I didn't have much sense at all back then.
I don't think any of us did. I swore off of marriage when I was a young man before I became a Christian, because I didn't know what to do. I was not a feminized male that I would listen to other males, but my dad was a feminized man, and he didn't raise me with the proper view of masculinity. And so I was kind of like terrified of getting married, because I didn't think that I was masculine enough to lead a wife about in the first place. And so that's what, and so now where does the, all right, let's say that you get somebody there and you have the husband and wife team, and they understand what we're talking about, how to come out of the church, but there's still a little friction between the two. Sean, how does the man neutralize this without beating his wife down, without forcing her hand? How does this happen? What if the wife is still not thoroughly convinced?
That's easy. Here it is, Pastor John. In this life, we will not have our best life now. You know, our best life is to come. Our best life is eternal life.
Right. It's not an Olstein syndrome, yes.
That's right. So we have to just look at it from this standpoint. This is the only way. We have to go to the Bible. And we're going to sit down, and that husband is going to show his wife, okay, like I did, I would talk about what the pastor was teaching. And I said, now let's go to the Word. Now look, he was teaching. He didn't even know what he was saying. Point out all of the stuff that he was saying. And once that wife realizes that this husband, he's showing her in the scriptures, he's doing like he's supposed to be, he's being a biblical husband, right?
Yes.
She sees that truth, and she bucks against that truth. I may be wrong. I'm just going to...
No, you got to say it. Go ahead.
I question her spirit.
Absolutely.
Because the truth, those who desire God's truth, true Christians, will come to the light of that truth. They'll move toward it. They won't move away from it. It will convict. It will correct and bring them into the proper place that they should be. So if the wife is resistant, the husband still has to make that decision.
Yes.
If my wife says, I'm staying right here, wow, that's you know what? Pastor John, my wife, she's on the line. She can back this up. I always, you know, told her, whether I walk alone or whether I walk with my family,
yes, sir,
I have to stand before the Lord.
That's it, man.
And I'm getting out of here.
Yes, yes. See, and that's the way a man sounds, Sean. You've answered the question for the other young men. You know what? I tell the males around me, because they say, oh, come on, Pastor John. God knows that we're all weak. We can compromise sometime. And I tell them, I say, man, I go all the way back to that August, that Thursday evening in August of 1967, when the Lord spoke to my heart and broke me down on my knees and I wept. And I told him how much I loved him and how much I wanted to serve him. And when he said, you would do everything I tell you to do, and I wept, and my heart had never felt so good in all my 23 years of life. Now, I'm going to compromise that overt experience that I had with the Lord Jesus and compromise Christianity. See, this is how serious it is if anyone refuses to place themselves in that mode of submission. Now, Tamika, I want you to talk to the ladies about what... All right, we've already discussed some of the things that would hinder them from, because they don't trust their husbands, because they're listening to their mothers. Kind of like, because I'm not a woman and I don't know how to do that. If you're talking with a girlfriend, what would you say to her?
I would first ask her, what does the Bible say?
Excellent.
What does the Bible say?
And then she's going to say something like, I don't know. The Bible says, but the Bible
go to the Bible.
And then you go to the Bible. Okay.
And because the Bible is the final authority. There's no argument. You can't be mad at me for what the Bible says. Take it to God, because that's his word and it's the final authority. So there's no argument there. And then second of all, it's not like we don't live in foreign countries. We're not, we don't do arranged marriages. We're asked to marry.
Right.
And if you didn't think this man's character, if you didn't think this man had enough character to lead your family, you and your family properly, why did you accept?
Oh, that's wonderful. Right. Because I was saying on some of the earlier webcasts that a lot of these guys are making money. A lot of these guys are college grads. A lot of these guys have good potential. And you know what the mother teaches, girl, don't go out there following that drug dealer out there in the streets, because that's going to run out when he get to be about 35. And if he don't save his money right, you better get you somebody that's going to make some money. See, a lot of marriages may not be arranged these days, but people get together because they can make bank together. But I think that's about to implode because our economy is about shot for good.
Yeah, because what, and especially these mega churches, what are they going to teach when the economy and everything implodes to the place where money is not going to do us any good?
About to plagiarize, Pastor.
I did. I stole that from my husband. Go ahead, baby.
Come on, talk to me, Sean. Talk to me.
A couple of things. And what my wife is getting at, as far as this false gospel, I said, well, if, and I said this before, any type of financial difficulty in the economy, I said, now, what if we were hit with something in this country so catastrophic that money would not matter? Money would have no value. What would they preach then? So, and I said, now, whatever it is that they would preach then, that's what they need to preach now, which is the truth. Love not this world. These are things that are in this world. But anyhow, my wife said something else I wanted to touch on. She had said, well, she would go to the Bible with this woman. One of the other big issues is proper Bible, the interpretation of the scripture. I guess the hermeneutics.
Yes.
People are not trained people are not trained well. So she'll go to the Bible and says, well, you know, this, my wife will say, well, the scripture says this. Then she'll, the woman will come back, the other woman will come back, well, the scripture says this, and this is what it means to me.
Okay.
That's how you're taught in these churches. So
right.
You're going to, it's hard. It's hard, Pastor John.
Well, it's not going to happen in one setting. We know that it's not going to happen in one setting.
Right.
With these people.
It's not going to happen in one setting. And another thing is, people, I mean, I just got an email one day last week from one of my cousins. Well, one of my husband's cousins. She's my cousin-in-law, but I love her. I love her severely. She is like a really, we grew to be really good friends over the years. And when my husband and I were just dating, she and her husband had met not long afterwards. And they, you know, they went through some turmoil and things in their marriage and had separated for a while. And she sent me an email last week and she said, I've watched you and Sean over the years, and no matter what, you guys stuck together and you did it together. And you guys have encouraged us
right.
to work our marriage out.
Right, right.
And I said that to say that whether we realize it or not, people are watching us. I never even knew that this girl, she actually told me in this email that we were like this beacon to her.
Yes.
And I'm like, you know, wow, I didn't know, you know, we're just living. You know, we love each other. We love God. We understand that that the word of God is the final authority in our lives and in our marriage. And that's what made it work.
Right.
And Pastor John, we didn't always, let me say this for people who may be listening and thinking it's all fluff. We have fallen out. There were times I thought that I married the right person. My wife probably thought the same thing, that I married a right man, and you know, are we going to make it, you know, but the bottom line is, there we go again, it comes right back to mm-hmm. the conviction of the Holy Spirit, which yeah. will always bring to your remembrance God's word.
Yes, man. You know what, I'm telling you, I think that you guys have done more than answer the questions for me. You've given the listening audience here on this session number 18, just so much meat, so much food. I appreciate you both taking out the time and calling me here in Los Angeles today. And tell us where you're from again.
We're originally from the Bronx, New York.
Okay, on the east side.
and we're currently living in Snow Hill, North Carolina.
Snow Hill, North Carolina. What city is that near?
It's maybe an hour from Raleigh,
okay.
30 minutes from Greenville.
My goodness. Well, you know what? I think I can find the pictures of you guys, because I'm going to put it up right next to this one. I put it up on the website, and so that everybody can see what a wonderful couple you are. And five children, what are their names?
They're Shamika, Sharice, Wardell Jr., Joshua, and Christian, and soon to be little Cameron.
Oh, that is so wonderful. You know what? Oh, my God, that's so wonderful. You know what? When the new one comes, mm-hmm. be sure to take a picture and send it to me so that I can put it up on the website.
We sure will.
God bless you. Thank you, Sean. Thank you, Tamika.
Thank you, Pastor John.
God bless you. Have a great evening.
You too. Bye-bye.
All right. Bye-bye. My goodness, what a wonderful, wonderful interview. I'm at a loss for words, and so what I'm gonna do is I'm just gonna let some music play, and I'll let the music say it for me. What a great interview. And it's Brian McKnight with the record called Home, talking about his relationship with Jesus Christ and how Christ can straighten it up for you. I don't know what his life is like, but I just love this. One of my favorite records. I think it's a very proper way to end up this webcast. Thank you so much for joining me. Brian?
Thinking back when we first met, I remember what you said. You said you never leave me, yeah. my castle in the sand, but now I'm reaching out again, and I'm not letting go till you
hold me, Lord.
Mold
me, Lord.
Sometimes I feel so all alone,
but don't give up, man.
See, I gotta find my way back home.
We need to come back
so
to Christ.
Shape me.
Shape me.
Make me. Wash me whiter than the snow. I gotta find my way back home.
That's the way it is. And all you need to do is ask the Lord.
Master,
to give you strength.
On my knees, I pray.
Get on your knees.
I just wanna be the clay.
Yeah.
Put your arms around me. Yeah. Place my life in your hands. Lord, I know I'm just a man. Oh, you understand. This time I'm not letting go till you anoint me, appoint me. Sometimes I feel so all alone. See, I gotta find my way back home. So why don't you chastise me, baptize me, wash me whiter than the snow. I gotta find my way. I'm lost and alone. I've been wandering long enough to know. Humbly I search for you, and I'm not gonna rest till you choose me, use me. Sometimes
John, thank you, Tamika, for your time and for your life and for your witness and testimony in Christ. God bless you both. God bless that family.